Welcome to a time of hope with highlights of last Sunday's services at the United Church of Christ. We would also like to invite you to be with us in person this morning at our church at 101 North Oak. Sunday school starts at 9:30. Church is at 10:30. And Pastor Cobb will be continuing his sermon on bearing the fruit of God's Spirit this morning, talking about faithfulness. And of course, we're going to sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Pastor Cobb also preaches at the Salem United Church of Christ out on Route K at 8:30. Again, thank you for listening to A Time of Hope.
The heavens declare the righteousness of God.
The earth declares God's beauty.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
God's earth shines forth in glory.
The fruit of the Spirit this week is goodness, and so the theme of our hymns has the theme of God's goodness and that God is good. So our first hymn is Praise to the Lord the Almighty.
Our special music is a piano duet of Amazing Grace by the brother and sister team of Emma and Will Kissick.
Thank you.
Brad Frederick reads the morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Bearing the Fruit of God's Spirit, Goodness.
Please join me in the prayer of illumination. God of hope, by faith we know that you created the world, and that what is seen is made by things that are not visible. Open our eyes to your presence among us, that we may hear your word with clarity and sureness of hope, as we follow you in all righteousness, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The first lesson is taken from Psalms chapter 107, verses 1 through 9. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he saith the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson is taken from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 16. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Here ends the second lesson.
We're still in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25 there, looking at the fruit of the Spirit. We're on number 6 now, love, joy, peace, the foundation, patience, kindness, and now goodness, the second three. We end up with what? Self-control, faithfulness, and gentleness. We'll do those the last 3 weeks of August. Goodness is kind of a unique one. It kind of sounds a lot like kindness. Kind of has some of those qualities. Some people have even said it is kindness in action or love in action. Generosity, the act of benevolence. Some people said that it's the opposite of evil. We'll talk about that, you know, the goodness of God. Well, also it says it's generosity that springs from the heart, but it's the act of a grace towards someone else. And we're going to see what goodness of God looks like, what it looks like in the church, and what it should look like in our lives. But our favorite song, Psalm 23, it ends with, "Surely your goodness and your mercy will follow me all the days of my life." And this book, it's a book by a man who is a shepherd. And he says, a shepherd looks at Psalm 23, and he said this about the goodness of God. He says, "As I see all of this in retrospect, I realize that for one who is truly in Christ's care, no difficulty can arise, no dilemma emerge, no seeming disaster descend on the life without eventual good coming out of the chaos. This is to see the goodness and mercy of my Master in my life. It has become the great foundation of my faith and confidence in him. I love him because he first loved me. His goodness and mercy and compassion to me are new every day, and my assurance is lodged in these aspects of his character. My trust in His love for me is His own. My serenity has its basis as an implicit, unshakable reliance on His ability to do the right thing, the best thing in any given situation. This, to me, is the supreme portrait of my shepherd. Continually, there flows out to me His goodness and His mercy, which, even though I do not deserve them, come unremittingly from their source of supply, His own great heart of love. That gives us a little background on it. Psalm 34, probably my favorite psalm. Verse 8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." A couple weeks ago, I think it was maybe Ellen, did you play the prelude, "The Goodness of God," or was that Stacy? I'm trying to remember who played that. We had that a couple weeks ago. I think it was the same Sunday that Brandon played his guitar. It's one of my favorite songs. If you can find it on YouTube, it's by C.C. Winans. And the couple stanzas go like this. "I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never failed me. All my days I have been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head down, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you've been faithful. All my life you've been so, so good. With every breath that I'm able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. And in darkest night, you're close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. Because your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything because your goodness is running after me." The goodness of God. When we look at the definition of the goodness of God and we see it in Scripture, we see there that it's the essence and the quality of God Himself. You know, good can mean a lot of things. You could say that person is a good person. And in your opinion, it may vary from my opinion. That may mean just He doesn't bother me. He doesn't upset me. He's a good person. He kind of does the right thing. Or you look at some people and say, well, he's a good athlete. Or that person's a good cook. Or they've been a good employee or a good teacher at the school. The word good is used in the very first chapter of Scripture in the Old Testament. When God was done with creating the whole world, what did He say about it? He looked around and He said what? It is very good. The word goodness is used three times in the New Testament other than Galatians chapter 5 verses 22. We see it, we read it in Ephesians 9, Brad did. He says that we are the fruit of the light and it consists in all goodness. That God is light and that goodness emanates from His being. Romans 15, 14 says, "I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another," that it should be a part, something that, you know, resides in our being as a Christian, the goodness of God. And then Paul wrote the Thessalonians, he says, "With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of His calling, that by His power He may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by love." It's that essence of God that everything about Him is for the good of His creation, that it just comes from Him, that He wants us to experience good. And I think when we look at Psalm 23, essence, that shows us the goodness of God. It ends with that. It says, His goodness will follow you all the days of His life. He gives it freely and more than what we deserve or what He owes us. It means that we're under God's sound, sympathetic, intelligent ownership. He fulfills all our needs, that even in our darkest times, He didn't give up on us, and that He continue to provide His blessings for us even when we didn't deserve them. This past week, I went with Jason Ashley. Jason is trying to start a Narcotics Anonymous group. We've had Friday nights at 6 o'clock as the meeting time here at our church. The first Friday night, we had 6 people come to it. The last few Friday nights, we've not had anyone come. He says, which is not unusual. Jason has just started a job at Burl as their addiction counselor. Some of you may know Jason from his time of living in Clarksburg and hearing that he struggled with addiction, and now that he is 3 years sober. Well, Tuesday night I went with him to his church in Columbia. He goes to Destiny Point Church, and they have embraced ministering to the addicted. And every Tuesday night at 6:30, they have their group that gathers there. And on the first Tuesday night, I went with him because that's food night. That's potluck night. And so I got to be fed, and so I showed up with him, and they have a man that speaks. They give their testimony about where they've come from. They have food. And then a second person spoke. Side note, the second person was a retired DEA agent, just retired in January. He talked about the last 15 years that his youngest son has been addicted. So it goes to everyone in every family. But I got there early. We helped set up, and two people sat with me, and I told this at the church out in Salem, that by the time everybody showed up, there was more tattoos in that group than a Saturday night at the Montauk County Fair, all right? There was a lot of tattoos in this group, all right? There was a lot of different colored hair, all right? Pink and red and blue, all kinds of different colored hair there. But two people sat down at our table when we first got there. One's name was Roxy, and the other guy's name was Merle. Both of them 18 months sober. Merle had driven over the road trucker, a million miles, driven everywhere. I wish Dean was here so I could talk with Dean about this fella. But for 35 years of that, he was addicted to meth. And he told me his story, a car accident, should have died. He died twice on the way being life-flighted to Columbia. He showed me his scars of his body, all the wounds that he suffered. But here he was in this building at this day, worshiping because the goodness of God had shown him even in the darkest period. Then there's Roxy across from me, pink hair. You could tell on her face that she had the scars of addiction. She had suffered 18 months sober herself, out of Louisiana, moved up here for some reason, lost one daughter to addiction. She died. Another son is in prison because of addiction. So she knows the scars, the pain that comes with it. But we're sitting there and we're praising God's goodness because they both said, even in my darkest times, God showed his blessings to me. And Jesus picked up on this theme in John chapter 10 when he called himself the Good Shepherd. And Psalm 23 is all about the goodness of God. He gives us green pastures. He gives us a place to be comfortable and secure. He gives us still waters for our thirst. He provides food and nourishment for us. He provides a place for us to stay. It's all about the goodness of God because it's the opposite of evil. Evil wants our destruction. Evil wants us as far away as it can to get away from the goodness of God. But the goodness of God emanates from him, and he shows us, even in our darkest times, the times that we don't deserve, that we still receive his blessings. But what does this goodness look like in the church? As we read Psalm 23, verse 6, there it says, "Surely it will follow me all the days of my life." That goodness of God shouldn't just stop with us. It just doesn't dam up in our life, but it's supposed to flow through us. We're not supposed to be like a sponge that soaks it all up and never shares it with anyone. Do we leave a blessing and a benediction behind us when we encounter people in our everyday lives and the people that we work with, the people that we go to school with, the people that we worship with? Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 says, "Do not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as the opportunity presents itself, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers." The church should be Psalm 23. It should be a place of shelter and love, a place of security. We don't condone the evil. We don't accept it. We don't promote it. But we love the person that has experienced the pains of evil, and we bring them into the goodness of God. Another word for the goodness of God, some people said, has been benevolence, the act of charity, showing goodness to those around us. How can we do that as a church? A man approached Jesus one time and said, "What good thing must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said, "You know the commandments. Love God and love others as yourself." But how can we practically let the goodness of God flow through our lives? A few months ago, one of our members tapped me on the shoulder and said, "We've got a lady in our church. Her garage door is stuck up. It's been up all winter long. It's never closed. All the weather, all the cold weather, all the snow, everything, all the weather that's happened has flowed into her garage. She needs her garage door fixed. If you talk to my dad and mom, you know I'm not the most mechanical person, but I went over and gave it a quick glance. The cables look good, the sensors look good, but it did not work. And I mentioned it at one of our brotherhood meetings a few months ago. And one of our young men that was there, he raised his hand, and he asked some questions about it, and he contacted me a couple days later. He says, "I think I can fix that," he said. "Let me go over and take a look." So I called the lady just to let her know someone was going to be poking around in her garage, and he called me back and he says, "I think it's a couple bent panels. Let me order those and I'll fix it for her." About a few weeks later, I got a call that it was done. I went over and checked on it, and now she has a garage door that goes up and down. It can protect her car and her belongings in the garage from the elements from the outside. I consider that showing the goodness of God to those in our church, especially to those who are among the believers. But how can we do that on a regular basis ourselves? Maybe you have a neighbor that depends on transportation, and maybe their air condition has broken down. And in this type of weather, that's terrible. Maybe they have a little one that rides in the back. Maybe you can lend your expertise or pay for that to get their air condition done. Or maybe as we get ready for the fall, we can winterize a home and show the goodness of God to those around us. We just met with the CMCA lady, Jen Millard, who came and spoke to our ministerial alliance. They're trying to get in a program that gives out box fans to people in this type of weather. I thought about one step further. Instead of a box fan pushing around warm, humid air, what if we bought 4 or 5 window air conditioning units and just gave them out to families in our community that might need them, just to have a cool area at night to sleep? I think that's bestowing the goodness of God to those around us. More than just an encouraging word, but showing God's deeds to others. Because deeds matter. Matthew chapter 25 said those good deeds are a big reason that we will inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus said to those on his right, "Come, you are blessed to take your inheritance. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. My garage door wouldn't work and you fixed it for me." That's Russ's Living Translation paraphrase again of Matthew chapter 25. But again, the intent is, how do we show God's goodness? Yes, it is the opposite of evil, but it's the blessings of God shown to those around us to let them know that God exists. But how do we show it in our individual life? How does it take up residence? Chapter 5, we have focused on the fruit of the Spirit, verses 22 to 25. But the previous verses give us the contrast. Verse 16 says, "So I would say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Ephesians talked about darkness and light. Here Paul talks about spirit and flesh. He says, "The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." Our lives must exude goodness, the opposite of evil. Flesh and the spirit. Flesh focuses on self. Spirit focuses on God and others. As Paul prayed in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he says, "I pray that every good deed will result in goodness and be prompted by faith." And he tells us to live as children of light in Ephesians, that goodness emanates from light. He writes earlier in Ephesians that we are God's handiwork, created to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. What good works does God have in store for you? You might tell me that, you know, my works, you know, I'm not talented. I can't play the piano like Emma and William. I can't play the guitar like Bran. I can't play the piano and the organ like Beth. I can't run the tech booth. I'm limited in my skills. This past week, I had my last 3 ears of corn on the cob from my garden. Yes, it was a sad day because I love corn on the cob. We froze a bunch of packets, so we have it stored away for later. But the last 3 ears of corn were the smallest ears. I mean, I don't let anything go to waste, all right? And I got those 3 years, brought them in, and Betty cooked them up for me, and I ate them, and they were delicious. They weren't the big ears. They weren't the most prominent ears. They wouldn't be the ones you would take to the fair and be judged, the blue ribbon or something, be best in show. But they produced, and they were delicious. God expects each one of us to produce goodness in our lives. He tells us that we need to be equipped to provide goodness. But how do we do that? We have to stay connected to nourishment. Jesus said that by your fruit you will know them, and that you must remain in the vine. The writer of Psalm 119 said this: "You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. Teach me how to be good." The way that I tell you is pretty simple. Stay connected in Scripture. Read His Word regularly. Be in fellowship with others. Find your time to let God speak to you through prayer and meditation. Because Jesus told the man that came to Him that wanted to know what he needed to do is good, and Jesus told him, "There is no one good but God." Then how can we give God's goodness to others? It's when the Holy Spirit comes in and takes up residence in our lives. It's when we make that decision to confess His name, to be one of His children, and put our belief that He died, He rose again, and that He lived, He died, and He died for my sins. He rose again, and that He is coming back in, that we remain connected to the vine. Jesus said, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Me and Verna were talking about blackberry picking. I don't know about your blackberry bushes, but a lot of my vines are dying. We've gotten plenty of rain. I don't know what's happened to them, but they've just started drying up, and the fruit on them are no good. They've dried up and died. They're no longer connected to the nourishment they need to provide the nice, wonderful blackberries that we've picked this year. The same thing happens to us when we're not connected to Jesus. We can try to do good things on our own, but eventually we'll dry up and our fruit will be of no good. We need to stay connected. It says that when we come to belief in Him, that we're grafted into the vine and that we become one of His. This morning, let the goodness of God flow into you and through you by putting your faith in Him, making that great confession that I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let everybody know publicly that He is your Lord, and follow that example that Jesus gave us through the act of baptism, to have our sins washed away and have the Holy Spirit come and take up residence so we can show that goodness to others.